Heavenly Father, blessed be your holy name. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. All glory and honor unto thee, O Father, our great God of heaven, God of Jacob, God of Israel, God of Abraham, God of Isaac. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you created all of us, that you breathed your life into all of us, that you put your spirit into all of us, O Lord. Lord, we are alive in Christ today because of your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the mercy that rewrote our life. Thank you, Lord, for the love that changed our life to hold on to the true vine, the true life, our Savior, our Master, the root and the offspring of David. Lord, we bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, as we wait eagerly, earnestly for your coming to see your face. Lord, we are here, O Lord, to behold the beauty of your holiness in your word by the leading of your Holy Spirit. Lord, may you bless us with the unity of the faith, with the unity of the Spirit, to be rooted in the agape love. That is the purpose, that is the origin, that is the root cause of everything you do, for you loved us first. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that we are all here because of your love. Lord, we are all here because of that purpose. There is a purpose when there is a calling. Lord, we thank you, you call all of us by name. And Lord, here we are for you to bless us, to lead us, to fulfill that purpose in every one of our lives. There is a purpose, O Lord. A beautiful divine purpose to live a life worthy of your calling. To live a life where people can see Christ. To live a life where we carry the burden of the Lord, the godly burden. To pray, to speak the words of life, to show our love and our kindness to one another, to speak in truth and in love. Not in the way the world will do, but Lord, in the way the Word of God has taught us. Lord, we pray, may you bless us to continue to drink from the water of life, the fountain of life, the everlasting fountain. Lord, may you bless us to learn to draw closer to thee, to walk humbly with you, to have this intimate relationship with you, that we can never be able to see ourselves without you. Lord, help us, Lord, to be rooted in your word, to stand firm, to be steadfast, to be immovable against all the tides, all the storms, and we say, blessed be your holy name, Father. You have given us everything. For children of God, they lack nothing. Lord, help us to grow in our faith that we will rest in the eye of the storm. Lord, we pray, may you take the preeminence in the midst of us. We invite the Holy Spirit to move in the midst of us, to touch our hearts, to speak from the deep. With a still small voice, you say, you are mine. Lord, we belong to you, Father. Lord, may you bless us. May you bless us to do everything according to your will. That is our prayer, O Lord. Not according to our desire, not what we want. It is vanity. But Lord, we pray for you to bless us to do according to your will and pleasure. Let it be pain, let it be sorrow, let it be betrayal, let it be the pain of all these sufferings in flesh, in our mind, whatever it is, O Lord. May you bless us to go through the narrow path where we see your perfect will having dominion over our life. Lord, we thank you. As we gather here as one body of Christ, we ask you to heal us as a whole. Our spirit, our mind, our body, our soul, to continue to be perfected, to be washed thoroughly for your coming, where we must present ourselves blameless. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for your name in our lives. We thank you for the Spirit that is examining our heart every single day. May you bless us to submit. May you bless us to yield. May you grant thy grace to serve thee with all our hearts, for we are here to please your Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we surrender all of us with everything we have got in your altar. Do as you please, our Master. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Shalom, dear brethren. God bless you all. Welcome to the house of prayer. Amen. The house of the Lord is called the house of prayer. For the Lord wants to speak, he wants us to listen. If we are the only one to speak, always throwing petitions to Him, it's a one-way road. It is true, the way of holiness, it has only one direction. We are called to move forward. But the Lord is speaking to us, back and forth. Speaking, waiting, in patience, in trust and confidence, then listening to His voice. Then we put everything in our life to see what we speak, what we learned. Can I see in my life? We always try to see the Word of God in others' life. But every day when you wake up, when you go and see your face in the mirror, the Lord will remind you, do you see my Word in your face? Do you see the Word that I taught you, that I put into your life? Do you see that Word living in your life? It's a question the Lord is asking all of us every day, so that the Lord can tell, open your mouth wide, I will fill in. Open your heart wide, I will put my sword in, right there, to separate everything that are not mine, to preserve everything that are mine, to cut and throw all the branches that are not part of the vine, and to keep the branches that are wounded, fine, He will heal. He is the great physician. We always compare Him with this physical flesh of our healing. But we are called the body of Christ. Amen? It is true, the body of Christ always represents flesh, you know, in our carnal mind. But are we just the flesh of the body? We are definitely more than that. The new city, Holy Jerusalem, how the Lord is measuring us by length and width and breadth. How the Lord is examining us to see whether we have reached the state, the measure, whether we are able to attain the fullness, the blessedness, what the Lord wants us to reach, the mark of His calling. That growth, the Spirit is examining us every day. And that is the reason the Lord allows you to see a day. If there is no growth, if there is no progress, that we move one step closer to what He has called us for, then there is no need of the day in our life. Moses, Abraham, when they were talking to God before they start their journey, they were submitting a request. It's like, if this condition is fulfilled, I am in. And that condition is nothing but, without your presence, we don't go anywhere. If you lead us in your presence, with your presence, then I am in. I will take one step forward. The presence of the Lord is liberty. The Spirit of truth is liberty. Where there is Spirit, there is liberty. When there is captivity, the Lord brings forth liberty. But what happens to the captivity? It will be destroyed. Peace after war. Light shines forth from darkness. Life that shows the importance of the true life from death. Day, which helps us to understand, it is day because we are in night. Joy, it helps us to taste it even better because we were in pain. Everything has a change. Seasons refreshing. There is a change. There is a turning the corner moment when the Lord decides to intervene. It could be either creation, redemption, restoration, revival, renewal, something to rebuild, or it could be the other way around. Destruction, desolation. But the Lord is doing both. If the Lord does not destroy the things that are harmful for His children, then the children are not really delivered from the captivity. So He informed His disciples of His coming in various ways, that do you really think that I came to make peace? I came to divide. I came to take away things that are not mine. If the Lord called all of us, you are mine, can we tell the Lord, I am yours because I am carrying this Bible? I am yours because I have studied all the chapters. I can understand what is there. Can we say, Lord, I am yours. You can tell me I'm yours. You can tell me you're mine.
because I do all of this diligently, sincerely for you. If the Lord looks at us, if He do not see Him in us, if He do not see His blessedness, His righteousness, His goodness, the fruit of His Spirit in us, then everything else that we may bring to His presence would be the clothing of Pharisees and Sadducees. They were so sincere, so punctual, they were doing everything, they thought they were serving the Lord. They thought they were doing something justice to what they were taught. They never intended to go against God. They thought they were doing everything for God, including the killing of all those. So what separated their goodness that they thought and the goodness that the Lord wanted them to embrace is understanding. Amen. Understanding. Amen. When we say, if a police officer comes and tells me you committed this crime, you are under arrest. He would never say, you are over arrest. You are under. You have no choice. You have to obey the law. I'm arresting you right now. Then I can't do anything because I'm at the gunpoint. So I say, okay, these are my two hands. You can chain me now. You are under arrest. You submit. You obey. No choice. So that word arrest, it takes some sort of a dominion over me. To say, this person was under arrest when he was arrested. He was controlled by that event of being arrested. When Apostle Paul reminds us, you are called to be the prisoners of Christ, he also arrested us. He put a chain in our hands that we may not go to our right or to the left, but hold on to His love, hold on to the truth He has given us, so that we cannot move here and there. You are under an oath, a covenant. The Lord established a covenant because of His love. And that covenant is the chain that chained your hands together, that you won't do anything out of your intention, your will, your mind, your desire, but He, the Master, tells you what to do. The Master tells you how to speak. The Master tells you how to pray. Because we are under His leading. Amen. Abraham was under His leading. Moses was under His leading. Amen. Under. When Abraham met those three men, they were under the trees of Mamre, the trees of terebinth trees. They did not go into the tent of Abraham, for the wife was inside. But rather, they met Abraham under the tree and they gave him the message. The message of the promised son. So, if you are walking in a very hot sun in the wilderness, the sun is scorching, you know, you feel the skin is burning, you are thirsty, you are so tired, you look everywhere, you can't see anything, everywhere you can see plain, the sun is literally burning you. If you see a tree out of nowhere and you could see there is a shadow, you would run for it before you faint. Amen? You would literally run for it. Let me go and just rest under the shadow. I can't take this sun, the hot sun anymore. When Nehemiah told those people, never open the gates until the sun is hot. Do not open the gates until the sun is hot. What does it mean? Do you really think the Lord will open our hearts if we don't catch the wildfire in the spirit? If we don't have the desire and the passion and the willingness and the joy to serve Him? If that fire is not there, the door is always closed. It's always closed. Your inner court, your chamber is always closed. The Lord won't break it. He will just knock it. He would never force to open the door. He would never invade. That was the job of those people in Sodom and Gomorrah when they were trying to go into the house to kill those two angels inside. Lot was trying to save them. They went and pushed him towards the door and the two men pulled him in and they shut the door. Amen? They shut the door because that door is only open for those who are called. No matter how many thousands, how many millions, how many billions go and knock it, go and search and do this and that, assuming that they are doing something, a service, that door is not open. The scripture says, those who humble themselves, they enter Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen.
Those who humble themselves, they enter Jerusalem. Now, holding on to the word, holding on to the revelation, holding on to his unchanging hand, the mighty hand, we are walking. We should never think of ourselves that the Lord has taught me, I can let his hands go. That is the job of the flesh. When you are a child, you can't walk, parents carry you. When you grow, you try to walk, parents hold you. When you learn to walk, parents let go. Then you walk on your own. But in a spiritual life, you can never let go of the hand of your father. You are always a child to him, no matter how old you are, no matter how skillful you are. He is telling us, no one can snatch my children away from my hand. Unless the children tell me, let me go. May the Lord bless us to understand where we are arrested in his mighty hands. We are inside his mighty hands. The scripture says, no one can snatch us away from his hand. He has arrested us. We are under an oath. We have a covenant with our life. We have a covenant with our friend. We have a covenant with our master, our teacher, our apostle, our high priest, our advocate, our everything. And that covenant, may the Lord bless us. We should never, ever break it. And the moment we break it, that moment, the Lord would see, you betrayed me. Why? Let's turn your Bibles. The book of John. John chapter 18. John chapter 18. I will read from verse 1. John chapter 18. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden into the which he entered and disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men, and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Prayerfully receive every single word written in this chapter. Lanterns, torches and weapon. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them. He was not waiting for them to question him. He saw, he perceived, he went forth. He went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Are you looking to arrest me? Are you looking for me? He goes and asks them. No matter whatever the purpose, you are searching him, my brethren. Listen to this. No matter whatever the purpose, you are searching him. To invite his wrath, to receive his love, to receive his revelation, to receive understanding in his word. He must come and tell you, are you looking for me? Because no one can find him. No one can approach the Lord who dwells in unapproachable light. Even the enemy, they can't simply go and tell him, I'm looking for you, where are you? He should come and reveal himself, I'm here. Are you looking for me? Do you want me to revive you or to destroy you? He says, whom seek ye? Whom you are looking? He needs acknowledgement. The Lord always needs acknowledgement. He created all things by speaking. Now they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Good. A beautiful, specific answer. Because many people can name themselves Jesus. They said, we are looking for Jesus of Nazareth. Because Judas has given us pinpoint report how to go and arrest him. Betrayal at its best. And he says, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. Judas, who also betrayed him, the word should also talk about you and me. And all of those who betrayed him, who were betraying him, who are betraying him, who would betray him. Judas also, he was not the only one who betrayed him. We all betrayed him.
Amen.
There are so many betrayed him. So many. Many are called, few are chosen. He sacrificed himself for all. But only those who were chosen could see the love, could see the understanding. Not they could find it, not they could go and search and get it. He granted it. So when he says, I am he, and Judas also which betrayed him stood with them, as soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward. What? They went backward. You should come forward. You should march forward. The Lord would never let you to go away from him. Amen? Amen. Whatever he does, the children of God are always drawn closer. Even if he beats you, punish you, break your legs, break your wings, whatever he does, you know what? You know spiritually you are being drawn to him. How come he just says, I am he, they should be drawn? Why they went backward? You could see this in the Old Testament. Those who went backward, those who turned from the path of righteousness, those who went away from whatever the Lord promised them that I will fulfill you. But it all comes with a if statement. If you are very weak in hearing what the Spirit said, you would miss that single word if. Then that's it. Imagine the prophet who was sent to Nineveh. The Lord told him they would go through this and that. But he put a word if. They did not repent. But they repented. If you did not hear that first single very word, you would take this as an absolute command to go and destroy the city. Two letters change the entire context of what the Lord spoke to the prophet. Amen? Amen? Just two letters. Now, even the tone of how the Lord speaks can change the context of how you perceive. Amen. Misunderstanding, lack of understanding is reserved for wrath, my precious dear brother. Amen. The only way the Lord can help us to be saved from the wrath that is about to come is the understanding. The understanding of we humble ourselves, trust and obey what the Lord has given to us in this fountain of life and yield to His Spirit. Amen. The Lord will show us more things, excellent things. Amen. Do you really think you can escape from the wrath without understanding? Learning is different. Knowledge is different. Understanding is different. Obedience is different. Many people learn, but few understand. Amen. Understand. Under arrest. But the Lord says they went backward and fell to the ground. You could see whenever the Lord cast out demons from all those who were sick, those demons, they cried unto him, what I have to do with you? Why you came here? They proclaimed you are the Lord. Amen? They were scared of him. They tarried those whom they were possessing. Everything trembles in His presence. Amen. Everything trembles in His name. Amen. If at all something He allows to happen, He must let it go. Okay, do it. You want to arrest me? Okay. This is the time of the power of darkness. He must speak. Only then they can arrest Him. My brethren, if the word of God does not speak, nothing will move forward. Amen. Nothing will come to pass. He must speak. Judas, betray me. You, arrest me. Then they can arrest. If you don't speak, they would remain in the state of being fell to the ground and backward. That's it. Like a deadly stone. Nothing can do, nothing can be done, nothing would move from there. If the word of God does not say, let's go. Let's go and get this done. When they came to arrest him, what he said? Do it quickly. Come and do what you are to do. Don't delay. I don't want to waste my time, my grace for my loved ones. They went backward and they fell to the ground. Then asked he them again. He asked them again, whom seek ye? We meditated a few months ago. The Lord called some names twice, some thrice. Amen? He sent two angels to destroy. But there were three to pass the message. And last Sunday, I asked the question, what happened to the one more? I'm sure you all know, you might have read the chapter. But ask yourself again. The understanding of the Lord is not over. every single verse, the fountain of life is linked. You knock, He will give you water.
Amen.
He will show you things which you have never seen before.
Amen.
Two sent to destroy, three were sent to pass a message. In the end of time that we live in, two witnesses will come, not three. Amen? Now, ask yourself. Two spies went to spy the city. Rahab wanted to hide them. And they went out, the city was destroyed. Those two spies, they were kept safe by Rahab the harlot. Amen? Two angels went to Sodom and Gomorrah. And that vessel, Lot, who wanted to keep them safe in his house, he was also hiding them. And he was not able to hide them, my brethren. Because he was very close to break, to be killed by those evil people who were surrounding the house. They pushed him to the door. If those two did not open the door and pull him in, he would have been killed on the spot. Rahab was not strong to help those two spies. She was just willing to help those two spies. Lot was not strong to preserve those two angels. He was just willing to preserve those two angels. Whatever the best he could do. He just offered his two daughters to those wolves, to those filthy men. He just told them, my daughters have not known any man. Take them. But don't lay your hands upon those two angels. Now, I ask you, do you think the Lord would simply rest when His anointed is tortured, stoned, persecuted to death, and the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Almighty? Do you think that He would simply sit and enjoy the show? Touch not my anointed. Amen? The Lord has spoken. It's not just a physical touch. You could hurt a person by your words more than by your hand.
Amen.
You could hurt your loved one by your thought even more than your words. Because it is betrayal. Samuel had to curse the king whom he loved as a friend. Because he touched his garment, he tore it. And he said, your kingdom is divided right now.
Amen.
He could not stop being the vessel of God. Because he was a prophet, not the friend of Saul. A prophet of God.
Amen.
You can only be friends in Christ. We can never go out of the agape love. The day we do so, the wrath of God is reserved for us.
Amen.
There are different types of love. We can never love any man, any woman, more than the love of God that we have for God. We love one another in God, in His love.
Amen.
The day when you lose it, something is terrible. Now, ask yourself a question. Those two witnesses who are going to come, they might be here. We are very close to the end of all. All those two, the two angels came unharmed, left. The two spies came unharmed, left. The two witnesses will be killed. The two witnesses will be murdered for their testimony of their master, the Alpha and Omega. What would happen if the world, if the Sodom and Gomorrah, if the city of Jericho was able to lay their hands upon the two angels, two spies, and destroy them, kill them? What would happen? What would happen? You want to know what would happen? Read the next verse. Then I see them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He repeated second time. He said the same thing before. Because they would not understand. If they understand, they would not be there. He tells them, Jesus answered, I have told you that I am He. Do you want me to repeat again? I have told you. What He tells us today. I have loved you. Do you want me to love you again? I have loved you. I love you first. I love you yesterday. I love you today. Listen to me. I love you tomorrow. I love you in the future. Love. It is done. It is finished. His love is beyond time.
Amen.
Your love has time stamp. You can love me today. You can hate me tomorrow.
Amen.
You can hate me today. You can love me tomorrow. But He says, I have loved you from the beginning to the end. It is finished. Everything is done, sealed. That is why the word of God will come to pass. He has loved you. Everything faileth, but the love of God, that is root of everything, it would never fail. That is why the tree that you see, you would never see the deep of the root. How much depth you would never know. You say, Lord, I want to know the depths of your love. Come on, you would never know. You can only go and rest and be soaked in his love. Depths of his love. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper. The greatness of God is cannot be measured by any man, because his greatness is his love. God cannot be measured by man. We can only experience his love. Now, when he said, I have told you, I am he. But that verse, when I was reading yesterday, about 3 a.m. I think, from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m., for 2 hours, I could not stop myself from crying. Those few words he spoke. I want you all to remember who you were before. I want you all to remember your past. Now read this. I am he, if therefore ye seek me. If you seek me, if you want to arrest me, if you want to kill me, if you want to torture me, if you want to do anything against me, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Alpha and Omega, the Lamb of Sacrifice, he speaks. He says, I am he. If you seek me, let these go their way. Don't harm my children. Don't you dare to lay your hand on my sheep. Don't you dare to lay your hand on my children. Don't you dare to lay your hand on my friends, my disciples, my apostles, my anointed, my seeds. If you do so, then that's the end of it. So what he says? He is telling those who came to arrest him, I am here. The one who came for Jesus of Nazareth, I am here. Arrest me. Throw me into Calvary. Do whatever you please. Smite my head. Spit on me. Remove my dress. Do whatever you want. Destroy my flesh. Insult me, blame me, and put all the shame on me. But you, let my people go their way. Do you see your name there? If you don't see, you do not have the revelation of Jesus Christ. I see my name there. I see all of us there. I see all of who were born and died there. I see all of those who are going to born to accept Christ there. Let them go that way. The way of holiness. He is the way. If you seek me, I'm he. Let these go their way. Don't touch my anointed. Why? I'll tell you why. You know why. If all the fathers here, all the mothers here, separated by some terrorist group, daughters and mothers, sons and fathers, one on a gunpoint, one on with a sword, and they tell you, I will let your child live happily. I give you my word, I won't lay the hand on a child. But until the child lives happily, I will just torture you. I will just keep you as my hostage. I will just torture you as I please, as it pleases me. Because I am a sadist, I am a psychopath, I want to hurt you. But don't worry, it is not for free. I will give you the price. I will let your child to live happily, joyfully. I will give you a small window. You can open it and see your child playing in the school. You see your child jumping and playing in the ground. You can see them, they are doing good. You can see them. I'll give you my word. If the father is cornered, arrested in four walls where he can't go anywhere, where he can't do anything other than to do the very last thing he could do for the child to live happily, and the child do not know, because the child cannot even speak, can't understand the father, can't understand what is going on inside the small prison. The father would say, torture me. I will try my best to endure this torture as long as I can. The more I wait, the more my child lives. Amen? If you die in 2 days, your child will have 2 days of life. If you can endure all this shame, the pain, the destruction that is coming upon your body and the flesh and your mind, everything, the more you endure, the longer your child lives. What the father would say? I submit. I submit. Given a chance, if you give me the weapons and you take me to an open field, I will fight you. But since you put me in a place and you chain me, I can't do anything. I can only see the small window, the joy that is set before me. I can only say, I yield. You have defeated me by the love I have for my child. So, you can do as you please. Strip me naked, smote me in the head, spit on me, take me to Calvary, torture me, I will endure. I will endure as long as I can, as long as I must, to ensure every single seed of mine that is wandering around will come back to me. He endured what the mothers would say. Kill me, rape me, do whatever you want, don't touch my daughter. Amen? Any mother would go to any extent to protect the daughter. She would go anything. I would go naked. I would do anything for my daughter to live happily. But don't tell what you did to me, to my daughter. She can't take it. She can't take it. She would live the entire life remembering the guilt of me, my life, is because of the shame of the death of my mother. That daughter would have a life of hell. But the mother would say, don't tell my sufferings to my daughter. Let her live. Let her live. I am he. Come and take me. Arrest me. Because if I don't tell you, arrest me, you can't arrest me. The day you say, I am he, everything goes backwards, fell to the ground. Anything on the heaven, on earth, below the head, whatever was created, all things that are created by him, everything recognizes him, my brethren. Whether you like it or not, whether they hate him or not, whether they understand him or not, everything recognizes. When the Creator steps into the scene, everything recognizes the presence. They would fear and they would go backward and they would fall to the ground. Why Abraham fell to the ground? Why Lot fell to the ground? Was he worshipping those two angels? No. The anointing upon those two angels. And that anointing is not an anointing. There is only one anointing.
Amen.
The presence of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
But Abraham said, he looked ahead, Sodom, and the two angels told him, we are going there. But when they went, they departed. The scripture says, Abraham stood before the Lord. Then who was the third one? Who was the third one? Was he a man? Was those two were just men? Those two men went away. They went, they looked ahead, Sodom, and they went. For what? Destruction. The two witnesses would be sent. For what? Destruction. They are not here to come and beg. They would come. It's a trap. Those who hate him would again catch the two witnesses. They would murder them. But if the Lord does not allow them to be murdered, do you think no one can even see the two witnesses, who they are? But if the Lord allows his two witnesses to be killed, it's going to be the end of all that you see. It's going to be the end of all, the complete fulfillment of the iniquity of this world that has been growing from the Garden of Eden.
Amen.
They killed the life on Calvary. They would kill the two witnesses when they come. And they killed all the apostles, all the true servants of God. Why the Lord allowed them to be killed as martyrs? Why he didn't perform great miracles? Because he's preparing for destruction, my dear brethren. It is already going on outside. There is a rain of understanding, the strong tower of his name, the banner of his love, under which we are resting. Understand, under which we are arrested. Under the tree, the shadow of the tree, we are saved from the scorching sun that can burn you to the ground. You are resting under the tree and he is giving you messages. He is giving you the promises. The son whom I promise is in you, Sarah. Speaking to all of us. He called all of us, come out of your city. Bear my reproach outside the camp until the end. If we do not witness him, if the good news, the gospel is not preached to the ends of the earth, and then the end shall come. Amen? Not before. And then it is the condition, it is the waiting period. The Lord is waiting for the gospel to be preached to all the seeds. He's looking at the window. If all my children are happy, where God of Jacob is the only happiness, have they received me? Are they alive? Are they alive? Have they received my life? Have they received my truth? He's witnessing. when he comes out, when he comes out with the iron rod, do you really think, Lord, forgive me? He won't hear you. When the grace period runs, there is no pleading, there is no time for repentance. Repent only when you can. You can only work when there is day. When the night comes, no one can work, no one can speak, no one can plead, no one can talk about grace and mercy. It is done. He's coming. There is no time. If you have not forgiven anyone, forgive them today, right now. Why? Why you speak right now as if I'm going to die? We die every day in our flesh. We must die every day in our flesh. All the Old Testament characters, Shemaiah, Eliashib, Hophni, all those characters we see, those are the flesh that we must kill. Those are the flesh the Lord wants to burn in the altar. So that we would remain as His blameless vessel to receive Him. Let's read this. When He says that the saying might be fulfilled, which He spake, of them which thou gavest me, have I lost none. Wow. I thought I just overcome that verse after thinking about all His goodness, the Calvary. Then the next verse He says, I would never lose anyone. I would never lose a single seed. I would never lose a single sheep. Not one. Not one can be taken away from His hand. They could be dragged by the wolf. They could be dragged by the beast. He will go and hunt them down.
Amen.
He will go Himself.
Amen.
Why He says, as it is written. Who wrote it? He spoke, someone wrote. What he's telling? Whenever our Lord and Savior says, oh, the book of Isaiah, as it is written. He spoke through His mouth. Amen?
Amen.
He is. He is. He is who He is. Most of the time we forget that. He is who He is. I am who I am. Before Abraham was I. Whenever we speak, we just limit our Lord into the 3 years of whatever we see in gospel. Don't do it. Never do it. He's beyond all. He's beyond all. When He says, I will never lose anything, anyone, don't try to be the savior of people. There is only one who can save you, me, all. We can only let the word to live through us.
Amen.
That is the only calling you have. Live the word. Let the spirit take the control.
Amen.
Live the word. Let the spirit take the control.
Amen.
He has spoken the word. I have lost none. Why are you so burdened? Why are you so worried? Why are you so scared?
Amen.
Your fear has nothing to do with the promises of the Lord. Those who are His are saved, done.
Amen.
He is waiting for His vessel to do His work.
Amen.
The truth is, with or without you, with or without anyone, that work is done. Not will be done. Done. On the cross He said, it is finished. Did He say, Lord, I will tell my disciples, they will do everything, it will be finished. No, it is finished. I have loved you. It is over. He never said, I will love you. I have the beginning and the end. The same yesterday, today and forever. I have loved you. I have known you from the beginning. I have loved you first. What is that first? When you say, I am the first. The true and faithful witness, He is the only one who can say that.
Amen.
Let us always remember, the wrath of God is a demonstration of His love to His saints.
Amen.
He wants to show how much He loves you. Imagine those two examples I just said. A father in the prison at gunpoint, a mother in the prison with a sword. If those terrorists decided to challenge the father, if those terrorists decided to challenge the mother, you will see a different version of the mother which you have never seen in your house. She would be the strongest woman warrior that you could imagine. She would get some strength. We don't know where from it is. She would come and she would fight like a warrior that you have never... You can't imagine. Is that my mother? Why she is jumping here and there? How come she is destroying all these enemies for me? When He comes out. But why He is waiting? He is looking at the window of His grace period. Are you all in? Where is my fivefold ministry? apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, let us make man in our image. Let's bless them to conform to the image of God. Let us make, let us create, let us form, let us give birth in spirit, in fire. The work is going on. No one is stopping it. No one can stop it. As we speak, I don't know how many thousands are baptized now. As we speak, in all the churches, the spirit is moving. In one spirit. The book of Malachi, the very first verse says, "The burden of the Lord came unto me, saying." Today we sang a song, "Burdens are lifted at Calvary." Yes, true. And he said, "Thank you, Lord, I feel so light. No burden, I'm so happy." Then the Lord says, "Hi, I am Mr. Burden. The burden of the Lord came unto me, saying, come on, I just said, I just received relief of my burden. Who are you? I am your burden. The burden of the Lord came unto me." Do you think there is burden without love? Can you have burden without love? Yes. In this world, you can see, there are people, they are very burdened to fulfill their politics, to protect their government, to protect their legacy, or to do something to keep up some extreme beliefs. They also have a burden. But if you look at the burden, you will only see pride, no love. The burden of the Lord, for God is love, came unto me, saying, that is the very first verse of the book of Malachi. But it teaches us about fear of God. The first chapter talks about fear of God. The first chapter in book of Psalms talks about separate yourself from the ungodly congregation. If not, you can't praise me, you can't worship me.
Amen.
Then chapter 2 onwards, David goes on full fire.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The very first chapter, preparation. Second chapter, restoration.
Amen.
Malachi, first chapter, fear of God, is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Chapter 2 onwards, the pouring out of wisdom. When Jesus said this, "Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Whoever you gave me, I would never lose anyone."
Amen.
So snatched, arrested, holding by the mighty hand of God.
Amen.
If it is painful, endure it. It is worth it. It will be worth it all. That endurance is your beauty of your obedience.
Amen.
That endurance is your beauty of the faith that is growing in you. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. And then said Jesus unto Peter, "Put up thy sword." Your tongue, your word, your action, your intent, whatever that you can think that you can serve the Lord, it is your sword, not his sword.
Amen.
The Lord did not say, "Put up my sword," because when he yields the sword, you can't control him. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this, not the man, not Pinhas. Never, never misunderstand scripture.
Amen.
The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. That is what we read in the prophetical books.
Amen.
And the Lord tells Peter, "Put thy sword." Keep up your word, keep up your thought, your intent, your action,
Amen.
Your plans, your interpretation. Put it in your sheath. Keep quiet.
Amen.
Because Peter genuinely wanted to save the Lord. Peter genuinely wanted to serve the Lord.
Amen.
It is not a service to the Lord. He was going against the will of God. He could have been destroyed if he didn't obey. You know that.
Amen.
What could happen if Peter is standing between Judas and Jesus? He says, "I would never let Judas to betray you. I'm going to kill him." Come on. Judas was there for the fulfillment of God's promises.
Amen.
Understand what the Lord is doing in our lives.
Amen.
The Lord told Peter, "Put up thy sword in thy sheath." He didn't identify himself with him. Whenever we speak, we do, we say, with some intent, the Lord says, "Hello, I cannot identify myself with you. Keep up thy works with you.
Amen.
Counsel with me. Let us content ourselves together. Then speak. Let me fill your heart. Then speak."
Amen.
"Put up thy sword in thy sheath, into thy sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it?" Wow.
Amen.
Wow. The prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. We know the word cup. Our mind always go to the word. "Lord, take this cup away from me." But what he said just now here. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it?
Amen.
Do you really think you need me? You need me to ask your protection for me? He is your shield.
Amen.
Do you need that He wants us to help Him to save souls? He is your Savior. But what He says, I am going to save my children. Just be part of my business.
Amen.
The Father who is all about His business, He means business.
Amen.
When the Lord says, I am here about my Father's business, He says, I mean business. Come and do quickly. Whatever you do, just do quickly. I'm here. I'm here for a business trip to get things done the way it's supposed to be. The Lord says, come, my fellow workers, my husbandry, let us build together.
Amen.
Let us redeem together.
Amen.
Let us work together, because I created Garden of Eden for you to have fellowship with me. Let us fellowship together.
Amen.
Never, ever forsake the assembly of God's saints.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
He is looking at all of us.
Amen.
If out of 12 apostles, one apostle comes and says, God, Lord, thank you for all that you taught me. I will go to the mountain or cave like those. I will just go and hide in some cave. I will live my life and die. And the Lord will say, why did I reveal all these things to you? For you to go and hide in a cave and die? Prophet Elijah was rebuked. He was running away from Jezebel. Irrespective of being the mouth of God, the voice of God, being the prophet of God, he forgot the power of word that he has in him.
Amen.
He could have spoken, it could have happened. But the Lord saw him to fear the flesh. When he had given me, shall I not drink it? The Lord is questioning Peter, is there anything that I would fail to do if the Lord has planned in his purpose, in his heart, out of his love. Amen? He would get things done. Now, let's remember when our Lord decides to surrender, it's a very serious situation to witness. Do you know? When the Lord decides to be arrested, when the Lord decides to bear all our shame, He is righteous. He would always come back and visit. He would always make a balance of all things. He would not let anything to be crooked. He would make all things straight.
Amen.
If the Lord decides to go like this on this side, He is going to come back and make it right. Now hit it, then it goes to the balance. He will come back and sort out all. Within this 2000 years, He will redeem His souls.
Amen.
When the Lord was killed, that's the right way to say it. He was killed by us, by our sins, not by those who crucified Him. We crucified Him. Our sins crucified Him. Don't try to think of yourself as a saint if you don't have the repentance. We crucified Him. Our sins crucified Him. He showed us grace and mercy to love Him.
Amen.
So what the Lord says, He descended into Sheol, was preaching to the souls in captivity, then He ascended. He spent time with His disciples to prepare them. Then the clouds received Him. And again, the two men in white apparel witnessed it. And they were telling to those apostles, what are you doing? Why are you gazing into heaven? Go and do your work. Go forward. So, when Abraham was standing below the trees of Mamre, those three men were witnessing to him, speaking to him. And when all the apostles were gazing on the cloud that received Him, the two men in white apparel, they were giving them instructions. Go, start the work. You are ready now. There is always a message. There is always a warning before destruction. Do you know, if you look very deeply, the apostolic ministry, what the Lord began, it started destroying things from day one. Traditions, principalities, wickedness, darkness, the stronghold of evil spirits, the lack of understanding of men, all the towers of Babel in first church age, second church age, third church age, all the Sodom and Gomorrah in every single church age, they were destroying by speaking. They were destroying by speaking. They were removing all the hindrances by speaking. The utterance of boldness in spirit, they were destroying. And the Lord was redeeming. It goes hand in hand. If there was an evil man destroying all the children of God in first church, can he say he escaped the tribulation period? The Lord is righteous. Amen. He would always balance out from day one until the end of the grace period. He would make things straight. So that no one can say, I am at disadvantage. No one can say that. The Lord would say, my grace is sufficient from day one until the end of whatever the purpose in his heart. Sufficient. Not more what you think, not less what you think. Now, when Jesus spoke these words, it reminds us Calvary. It should remind you Calvary. It should remind you what he has done to you. Amen. Now, before we go to the book of John 16, I want all of us to read Mark 10. Brother Clement, please read this for us. Mark 10. Mark chapter 10. Verse from 1 to 16, brother.
Then he arose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of Jordan. And multitudes gathered to him again. And as he was accustomed, he taught them again. The Pharisees came and asked him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? Testing him. And he answered and said to them, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her. And Jesus answered and said to them, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his mother, father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh.
Amen.
Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate.
Amen.
In the house, the disciples also asked him again about the same matter. And so he said to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her.
Yes.
And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery.
Amen.
Then they brought little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. And when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whosoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them.
Amen. Amen. Now, verse 14 and 15. Let's look at how the Lord sees. We have to perceive what the Spirit speaks to all of us in the verse, how the Lord sees, how the Lord listens, how the Lord hears, how the Lord speaks. Amen. How the Lord thinks. When Jesus saw it, when you see this verse, you should always remember, there is nothing can be hidden from his eyes. Amen.
Amen.
So the truth is, he always sees.
Amen.
When you see this word, don't be fooled. Oh, okay. Just because Jesus saw it, he speaks. He always sees.
Amen.
The Spirit searches all things. When David says, where can I go and hide? You are there everywhere. He was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whomsoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Simple. He shall not enter therein. Do not complicate the truth. The truth is truth. The truth is as simple, as plain as truth. It is truth. It is not a non-linear mathematical algebraic equation. You don't need to go for a course to study. It is truth. It is revealed to you, you see it. You close your eyes, I come and hurt you with some fire, you know, oh, who burned you with fire? Understanding. You didn't see it, but you know the fire burns your skin. Revelation. Experience. Now, we are going to speak and to study and to receive what our Savior spoke of. Where do we stand today? Chapter 16, chapter 16, verse 1 to 6. Read this together with me. Let's all rise. Let's all rise and read these words of life together as one congregation of the Lord. From verse 1 to 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that he shall he speak, that he will shew you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall shew it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and I shall shew it unto you. A little while, ye shall not see me. And again, a little while, ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You all be seated. Do you see the words that are spoken here and the words that we just read? And the Lord told them when they came to arrest him in the book of John chapter 18, he told them in verse 8, Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Now, I want all of us to remember these three words. Go thy way. Go their way. Go my way. Chapter 16, our Lord spoke this word. I must go my way. That is John chapter 16. Chapter 18, he tells those who came to arrest his disciples to protect them. He said, let them go their way. Do you see? And the Lord said, if I don't go my way, I can't give the comfort to you. I will go to Calvary. I will go through whatever I need to go through to drink the cup the Father has given me. And now he says, verse 15, chapter 16, verse 15, he says, all things that the Father hath are mine. All things that the Father hath are mine. He takes the ownership, mine. The word that we sing in the song, I belong to you, because he told you, you are mine. No one can claim inheritance until he has given to us. He said, I am yours, you are mine. I am in you, you are in me. Then the word is spoken. He's spoken. And the Lord says, the Father hath heard mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall shew it unto you. A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again, a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. When I was reading the verse, I was thinking, when the children were growing in the houses, in your home, if you remember your past beautiful memories, parents will play hide and seek. Find me where I am, I'm hiding. And the child will go and look at the window curtains, look at the door, everywhere. And the parents will come and surprise them. And the child will jump, laugh, and you know, if you see that smile of innocence, you know, it melts your heart. The parents play hide and seek with the children, for the children to go and search and to find each and every nook and corner of the house, to understand where is this place, where my father will hide. Let me think. If you hide in the same place, the child will come and find you. You will keep on going, you will just play around to make sure the child is enjoying the time with you, to make sure the child is looking for you, searching for you, and when the child sees you, it jumps in joy. Amen? The Lord would never forsake us, amen? But he would keep silent. Sometimes he would hide his face because he would want us to be purged, pruned, chastened in the warmth of his anger. Then when you say, okay, the bread is baked well, okay, this is my face. Now enjoy in grace and mercy. Oh, whenever you go out of the way, he will show the face. He will hide his face. When the Lord is teaching us how he deals with us and how the Lord spoke to us, I must go my way. So do not lay your hands on my disciples, my friends, my apostles, my saints, my children. Take me, I will come to Calvary. Don't lay your hands upon them, let them go their way. Even after he said this, Peter denied Christ 3 times. The same Peter who took the sword, and the Lord told him, put thy sword in thy sheath, keep your tongue to be cleft to the roof of your mouth. He could not. He was keep on speaking about his passion, his courage, his boldness, his reverence, his everything for the Lord. And the Lord told him, you are going to eat your own blood when the time comes. Not once, thrice. 3 times he denied. The Lord told, when the word of God says, let my son go his way, do you think, is there anyone can go and hold that son? Is there anyone can go and snatch the daughter? When the Lord said, let there be light, and there was light. Amen? Because there is no one stopping him. Amen?
Amen?
When the Lord says, let there be peace, there is peace. No one can go and contend with him. All that we are all waiting for him to speak the word in our life. He has spoken. But there is a part of the word that is manifesting in your life. You speak. You should speak.
Amen.
For that fulfillment, for that purpose to come to life. Not in a way you speak, by the Spirit that lead you to speak.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Then he said this, let me go my way so that my children will go unharmed. When those two angels went to the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot was asking them, pressing them upon greatly, come to my home. But they told them in this word, we came here to abide in the streets because we did not come here to make peace. We came here to destroy. And Jesus said, do you think I came for peace? My brethren, what happened in Garden of Eden? Adam was there, Cain was alive. The serpent was cursed, it was alive, was not killed, not destroyed. There is a time for everything. There is a season for everything. The Lord allows all things for him to separate his seeds, for him to harvest his seeds. He let things go. For you, it is 6,000 years. For him, when he descended unto Sheol, he rose the 3rd day. So it's not 3 days after, amen? Just 2 days. If the scripture says 1 day is as 1,000 years for the Lord, don't you see we are exactly at the 2,000 years mark? Ever since he resurrected, defeated the death, swallowed up death in victory, the 3rd day he arose. The 2 days 2000 years of seven church ages we are witnessing. The Lord is refining His seed, preparing the bride, assembling a rose. He will come the same way He went. He will come the same way He was taken, in the clouds. We will meet Him up in the air. Whatever He promised will happen just as it is. He maintains the consistency, the balance of whom He is, the Almighty. It is well with your soul. Do not be troubled. What we can do? Give our best. Lord, this is my best. This is the best I can sing. This is the best I can testify. This is the best I can pray. This is the best I can show my sincerity. But Lord, I'm still weak. I want to grow in You.
Amen.
Until we say it is Christ in me, we are not full in the measure of His fullness.
Amen.
Now, I want us to focus on these three words. Brother Clement, read this for us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 23. Thank you, brother. I will write. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 23.
Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Little children, it is the last hour. And as we have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also.
Amen. Amen. Now we all receive the words of life from 1 John chapter 2. Now let's go back and reflect what the Lord spoke. John chapter 16, let's go back to verse 8. Let's go back to verse 8. And when He is come, He will reprove. Now please look at these words. And the word "and" is very important in Scripture. Only when the gospel is preached to the ends of the earth, to all the souls, as the Lord desired, and then the end shall come. Only then, "and," "if," just three letters, but it defines the purpose. If you don't repent, you are destroyed. Now, you see, if I say the same word, you don't repent, you will be destroyed. It is a very dangerous statement for the Lord to speak. If the Lord says, "You are a fool, you will be destroyed." The word is spoken, "I will be a fool, I will be destroyed." But the Lord says, "If you are a fool, you will be destroyed." It becomes a question mark. A denial of yourself. Today is the day. I place a blessing and curse. Which one you take? So the Lord always hits the bullseye when it comes to your free will, when He speaks. Because He would never suppress you. He would never control you. He would remind you, that tells you, you are mine. Then He wants you to behave that you are His. For you are created in His image and likeness. Amen?
Amen?
Now you read this. When the Lord says, "I will go my way, I will send the Comforter, He will come and teach you." Amen? Now read this. And then He is come. And then He is come. And when He is come, you start from here. 1, 2, 3. What He will do? What is the right word? He will reprove, not approve, not accept, reprove
I will write here. There is a process. He will reprove of all this. So now read. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Amen? Three things. Of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Do you know? Sin, judgment. In between, there is righteousness. Amen? Amen? Sword, the Lord swings. Circumcise our flesh, burn it. The Lord swings, call all of us to marvelous light, life, and everything else is death. The Lord swings, give you understanding from the vanity of lack of understanding, and everything else is wisdom. Understanding. Understanding is wisdom. Amen? And there is no other wisdom other than He who is. Understanding Him is receiving the revelation of He is who He is. And you identify yourself with Him. Of your creation of Him. You can feel inside. Don't try to feel yourself outside. Feel yourself inside. You are a creation of God. You can feel the love. You can feel the anger. You can feel everything. You can feel the attributes of Him in you. But align to the Word of God. Reprove the world of sin. The world. He comes to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Now what He is going to do? Sin is defined as those who believe not. Very, very strong statement. What we say? Sin. Committing adultery, killing people, speaking evil, destroying, throwing fire, throwing brimstone, this and that. You can say all of those things. And the Lord simply defines the world of sin in single statement. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Because. Correct? When you sing the song, because He lives. Because. It means He lives, there is a purpose. And that word is because. There is a purpose. Amen? Because is a question mark of that purpose. Why you don't believe me? Because you don't know me. Because you are not of me. Because you are not my seed. The answer is that. The Lord called all of us into His marvelous light. Because you are His seed. Because they believe not, and of righteousness, because I go to my Father. Look at this. Because I go to my Father, if the Lord decided not to go to the Father, what is righteousness? Think. If there was no sacrifice, atonement, demonstration of His love on Calvary, for the power of resurrection to quicken all of us in His marvelous light in the Spirit, where is righteousness? Because it was sealed. The tree of life was sealed by cherubims. No one can access. And the book of Revelation says, those who do His commandments will have the right to the tree of life. What is that right? I am right. See, 1 Timothy 2, 3, I am right. I am right. Genesis 22, I am right. Oh, she is right. He is right. You are right. That is not right. There is only one right in the sight of the Lord. This one. Righteousness. Everything else you can speak, you can boast, you can cry, you can jump. The Lord would say, I told you, don't turn to your right, don't turn to your left. That is not righteousness. Righteousness is straight. Look up to Him, the author of your salvation. Righteousness, He is a righteousness. Not your learnings, not your understandings of the books and Bible. He is your righteousness. He is your crown of glory.
Amen.
Those who believe not, world of sin, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, I will send my comforter to you all.
Amen.
Who will teach you to see Him in His word. Who will teach you to endure throughout the seven ages. Who will seal you unto the day of redemption. If not, you and me are gone.
Amen.
You and me are those lords wandering around the door. And the two men inside, they stretch forth their hand. Pull you inside the house. Shut the door. When the Lord shut the door, no man can open. But you can say, I want to go out. He won't stop you.
Amen.
You have the keys of salvation and hell. He has given the key of salvation. You have the keys to drop it. When you drop it, done. You don't have to go and find the keys of death. You are the key of death. The scripture says, be born with the agreement to death. You can always go back to your old house. the old man. Of righteousness, of judgment. What is the judgment, my brethren? To judge one another, to prove who is right, who is wrong, or to judge the prince of this world. And the Lord says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Forget about all the souls that you see in this world. That is not your battle. Because they are all created by the one whom you serve. They are all created by the one whom you love. They are all created by the one who went to Calvary to die for you and me. But there is a carrying process. The same way Joshua carried the Ark of the Covenant through the Jordan of River, River of Jordan. People also carry some wickedness in their heart, in their actions, in their life. We look at, we discern what is important to keep the tabernacle, congregation of the Lord, holy, acceptable for the Lord's Shekinah glory to come and dwell in the midst of us. Amen?
Amen.
What we do? We discern. How we discern? The path of righteousness, the Lord says, I go to my Father, you go that way. What is your way? You can go any way. You can go two ways. You can go your way, you can go his way. Many are called, few are chosen. I can choose my way. You can choose your way. Everyone can choose your way. There are thousands of ways. But there is only one way. There is only one way for righteousness. Wrath of God is a demonstration of how righteous He is.
Amen.
How consistent He is.
Amen.
How loving He is. How much caring He is. How protective He is when someone comes to lay their hands upon the children.
Amen.
If at all He led them to lay their hands on the two witnesses, two spies, two anointed, His apostles, His prophet, His servant, His children, Stephen's. If at all He allowed, He has reserved a mighty destruction when the time comes, multifold.
Amen.
He is righteous.
Amen.
Wrath of God is the righteousness of God.
Amen.
You can never see it in a wrong way. Never, ever. Number 25, those 25 who bowed their heads and worshipping sun, 250 men who were raising the strange fire, the incense. Do you think the Lord would joke with numbers? 24 is the perfect number of God's government. Amen? 12. 24 elders worshipping the Lord. Not 25. Then how come in the inner chamber, what we read in the book of Ezekiel, how come they become 25? Some ancient men. Numbers. Numbers. The Lord's pattern of teaching all of us, I am who I am.
Amen.
I call you twice, I call you thrice, I do. To tell all of you, I stay who I am. Let's read book of Ezekiel, chapter 9. Chapter 9. Brother Clement, read this for us. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 9.
Then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a weapon, deadly weapon in his hand. And suddenly, six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's inkhorn at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from Tur, where it had been, to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's inkhorn at his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. To the others, he said to my hearing, go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eyes spare nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women, but do not come near anyone on whom is their mark, and begin my sanctuary. And begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the temple. Then he said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. And they went out and killed in the city. So it was that while they were killing them, I was left alone. And I fell on my face and cried out and said, ah, Lord God, when you destroy all the remnant of Israel and pouring out your fury on Jerusalem? Then he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of bloodshed, and the city full of perversity. For they said, the Lord has forsaken the land, and the Lord does not see. And as for me also, my eyes will neither spare, nor will I have pity, but I will recompense their deeds on their own head. Just then, the man clothed with linen, who had inkhorn at his side, reported back and said, I have done as you commanded me.
Amen. This is the continuation of what we received last Sunday, Ezekiel chapter 8. How the Lord uncovers the hole in the wall, and dig into the wall there was a door, and open the door there were abominations being committed all these days. And the Lord uncovered this to the watchman, and he looks at the watchman what he does.
Amen.
Are you enjoying the show, or are you going to do something about it? When the Spirit examines your inner chamber, when the Lord uncovers your weaknesses that is not acceptable, ungodly, unholy in His sight, and the Lord is waiting and seeing what you will do. Are you doing something about it to yield to Him, for the Lord to destroy it? And this is the follow-up of chapter 8. Before the Lord sent six men. Who are those six men? What number six represents? What number seven represents? How many went inside the Noah's Ark? Eight. What eight represents? Six men were sent. Seven bowls of wrath. Six men were sent. For what? To go and make peace. Two angels were sent to Sodom and Gomorrah. For what? To go and make peace. There was a redemption, but there was a destruction. Redemption comes first. Destruction comes later. Amen?
Amen?
Now, in this chapter, the six men came from the way of the higher gate which lieth toward the north, verse 2, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's ink on by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. Amen? Now, with reverence, let's go to John 16. Hold on to this verse. Let's go to John, where we just read what the Lord spoke. 15. 18. John chapter 18. Verse 3. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, cometh thither with the lantern and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. Amen. Now read book of Ezekiel, chapter 9. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north, and not, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand, and one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in, they stood beside the brazen altar. Now, this is the Lord's way of destructing something that he had planned to destroy. Amen? And that even was the men's way of destroying something that they cannot destroy. They came to arrest him, to destroy him, but he must let go. Okay, arrest me. He must let go. Without his permission, without his approval, nothing can happen. He must let go. But the Lord says, the power of darkness of time is there, so arrest me. He said, okay, but now you see how he is dealing things. He sent his men with some weapons in their hands, but they are going to destroy. No one is stopping. And they destroy all with the mark, without the mark. Amen? Do we have the mark of him? Do we have the mark of him? The only scar that we have, that he put his spirit in you. The surgery of salvation is performed. The mark of the salvation, that is spirit in you. May the Lord bless us. Then the watchman, after this evil, who was pleading, in chapter 11, he speaks a word, Hananiah, son of Pelatiah, he fell and died. Who was pleading for Israel. Apostle Peter, who was baptizing 3,000, stage 1, 5,000, stage 2. Wow! When he speak to Ananias and his wife, they fell and died. There were men waiting to carry their bodies and to take them away from the place that they fell and died. When the Lord burned the sons of Aaron, there were men waiting to carry their bodies to take them away from the place that they fell and died. The Lord sent men to go and destroy. The Lord sent men to go and carry for. The Lord sent men to clean, to destroy. Apostolic ministry, yes, it is spreading the light, spreading the truth. But my brethren, truth destroys falsehood. Light consumes darkness. Life consumes death. The Savior destroys those people who bring the children to slavery. Those who look for captivity, He destroys all. But for us, we are called in His love. We are called in His grace and mercy. We will continue next week. I pray, meditate on the words of life. The Lord is coming soon. All those prophets, kings, apostles were speaking all of this in the scripture. We are literally living in that time, the golden period of time, that we can showcase our faith with the leading of the Spirit. So tell the Lord, we shall rest in the eye of the storm, for you are our anchor. May the Lord strengthen us with joy and peace and love for one another to stay united in humility and humbleness to serve Him. For what we have is a privilege. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's all rise as I pray and close. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you spoke the word. Our flesh died. The Spirit entered. You quickened us and we arise to shine your light. We are all quickened. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the word that was spoken to all of us through our loved ones, the brothers and sisters, pastors, ministers, apostles, books, scripture, whatever the ways that you use to speak the word to our heart, where our heart was pierced by the double-edged sword, divided us from confusion and called us into truth, separated us from darkness and called us unto your marvelous light. Healed us. We could not speak. We could not see. We could not listen. You healed us from being deaf, dumb and mute. And you call all of us to see, listen and speak. And Lord, we stand in a time of the boldness that we all must embrace to speak the goodness of you, the greatness of you, the love that you showed us in Calvary. Oh Father, without the wrath of men, there is no Calvary. Do you all remember? There are people full of wrath wanted to kill the Prince of Life. Wrath of men worketh not towards righteousness. And that is what the Lord says. World of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. He will come and judge for what was done against His righteousness. And there is none escaping from it. So Lord, may You bless us to escape from what is about to come. To stand before the Son of Man, our Savior, our Master, our life. Help us, Lord, to be rooted in Thy word. To show Your love to one another. But not more than the love that we have for You. For we are the church of God, the tabernacle of God, the congregation of the Lord who showed the Shekinah glory in the wilderness to tell Moses and Aaron people that You desire to live in the midst of Your children. Father, amen. Fill us, Lord, with Your Spirit. We submit, we surrender. Take us, Lord, and use us according to Your will and pleasure. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, bless us. For we are here to set up the door of the tent of the tabernacle of the congregation to glorify Your name. Help us, Lord, to go forward, not to go back forward and fall forward. But Lord, we want to go forward and to keep our heads humble for the head of the church to take over. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we surrender everything to the head of the church, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, Yeshua. Blessed be Your holy name, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we claim the victory. Amen and amen. Shalom, brethren. God bless you all.